All right. I think I'm ready to preach now. Man, that was good.
Yeah.
Thank you, Faith, for your special. Very special. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Living in the light of His return. And I never know why God leads me to preach certain messages at a certain time, but now this message, I know why. For what everything that's transpired today, it's happened today. It's always for a reason, isn't it? Always for a reason. When we listen to God, He'll direct us in the right path, in His path, the way He wants us to go. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See how a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God. Do you hear what that says? Beloved, we now, the word now, right now, not yesterday or future, but right now, we are the children of God. And it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. I like that. We'll just be like Him. All glory, all righteous, perfect. In verse 3, and everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He, Christ, is pure. There's this woman who married a banker. He died, and he left her some money. So she decided that she wanted to have some fun, so she married an actor. Well, he died a few years later, and she met this preacher. And she made a statement, commented to her friend that says, if my current husband ever passes away or when he dies, I'm going to marry an undertaker. Her friend said, you married a banker, you married an actor, and you're presently married to a preacher. Why in the world would you want to buy marry an undertaker? She said, simple. One for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and four to go. So I guess she had it all planned out, you know. But you know what? The Bible says that He is coming again, right? I want you to tell you, He is coming again. So she was getting prepared, right? Getting ready and four to go. You know, when I think about preparing or getting ready for His return, you know, years and years ago, it was a lot of messages preached on Christ's return. And there's been many speculations, prophecies, that He's coming any certain time or day. And the Bible says no one knows. The angels doesn't know. The Son of God, He doesn't know. The Scripture says only the Father. Now, that should give all of those here on earth who think they know prophecy a lesson that they need to leave it up to the Heavenly Father. You know, we don't need to be worrying about when He's coming and try and figure out a date as what we are doing to be prepared for His coming. And the Bible says, you know, watch and you wait. And be ready to when he comes. I was thinking as this morning I got up early and I was praying and meditating on this message and so forth. I got to thinking, we've had 2,000 years to get ready for his return, right? We've had 2,000 years. And you know what? Those who lived before us in the new church age, they did believe that he would return again. Because the disciples and others say, Lord, when are you coming? When are you going to bring your new kingdom? When are you going to establish it? Luke, turn over to Luke with me. Luke chapter 12, verse 40 says, to you too, be ready. And this passage is saying, be in readiness. You too, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. So, but he is coming, right? And I'm not, you know, reason I'm preaching this message today, Lord pressed upon my heart to preach this message and share it with you. But to me, it's a reminder. Yes, he is coming. But what is our responsibility to be doing until that time happens, that in time, the episodes that's going to be taking place until he comes again? Yesterday in our workshop, the conference that we had yesterday, we talked about a lot of the things that churches do and don't do well. Had a lot to do talking about the way we worship, the style we worship. Talked about our adults, our middle age and young people, how that we are to come together and learn how to worship together. Very interesting to know that the Bible has all the answers there. Because the Bible says that when we worship the Lord, we worship him in truth and in spirit. That means when we come into a setting like this, that our heart should already have been prepared. And we just don't do it that morning. See, we prepare to worship all week long. And see, as we're preparing to worship all week long, and in the back of our mind, or when we're thinking about when the Lord may be coming, if he come right now, what a glorious day. I mean, it'd be exciting, wouldn't it? You know, what are you going to be doing when the Lord comes? You hope that you would think, well, I'd love to be in church. What about the other things that people are doing that they would not want the Lord to see them doing? Of course, he sees all anyway, right? He knows everything. But in our mind, you know, we think, you know, I'm okay because the Lord hadn't come. He hadn't come yesterday. He hadn't come in 2 years, 2,000 years. So it's anticipation of saying, well, I have plenty of time. But for the Christian, you know, we need to have a different way of thinking about the Lord's return. You see, when you and I look forward to his return, we are more likely to have a biblical perspective on life. See, a biblical perspective on life. The scripture's principle is an eager anticipation of the Lord's return keeps us living productively. So let's look at what the scripture teaches us about Christ's return, which says he will return. The second coming will be known by the whole world. The whole world will know when Jesus comes back again. Look with me in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, which says, behold, I like that word, behold, that means I need your attention. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, those who were at the cross, standing at the foot of the cross when Jesus was crucified, those who pierced him, those who stoned him or mocked him, those who beat him, they will see him. Even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. And amen says, let it be so. Secondly, Jesus has prepared an eternal home for each believer. You see, that was one of the things that Jesus wanted the disciples to understand. You know, you've been with me these 3 years of ministry. I called you out. You have walked alongside. You have eat with me. You have ministered with me. You have seen the miracles and wonders happen. And he's now you have sorrow on your faces because I have told you that I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried, but I'm going to be resurrected, and then I will ascend to the Heavenly Father, and I will send you, Allah, another helper, paraclete, counselor, the Holy Spirit. And then he says in John chapter 14, and I will go and prepare a place for you. But he says, in my Father's house are many homes. And I'm going to prepare a place for you, and where I am, there you may be also. Isn't that encouraging? Knowing that we are a child of God, as our scripture says, now we are children of God. And you see, he loves us so much that he is willing to go and prepare a place for us. And when our home, our house, our home is finished, he will say, come to me. Come to me. And that's when we're going to experience the peace and the love and the presence, and we will see him as he is. If he should return, we shall see him as he is. And the Bible says that he will come in the clouds. He will not set foot on the earth, but the Bible says we'll be caught up. I think that's my next scripture I wanted to share with you. No, that's the following one, but no one knows the exact day or hour he's coming. Look with me in Acts chapter 1, verse 7. Jesus' words. He said to them, those who were assembled there with him, he said, it is not for you to know the times or the episodes or dates which the Father has fixed by his own authority. Not the angels, not the Son of God, but the Father has set by his own authority. Now, believers who passed away will be resurrected at the rapture. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17 says, those who are alive and remain will be raptured. Word rapture is not in the Bible. Will be caught up, which means rapture. And those who are alive will be caught up. But before that, it says those who are asleep in Christ will rise first. Hallelujah. You see, we'll all be caught up with him at his return. So, we have a lot to look forward to. And if you read verse 18, 1 Thessalonians 4:18, it says, Encourage one another with these words. How many of us go around each day saying, you know, the Lord is coming again? I encourage you to be ready. I encourage you to be prepared. See, we have to be prepared before we can be ready. Amen? If we're not prepared, we're not ready. But Christian, if you're prepared, you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, then hopefully, by the cleansing of your sins, by praying each day, Lord, purify my life today. May I walk in your footsteps today. May you live your life through me today. And then we will be ready. Every day that we rise to a new day, if we will just pause before our feet even hit the floor, you've heard me say this many times, it's as a reminder, as the Lord is coming one of these days, we have a lot to be thankful for, but we have a lot to get in preparation for His return. So there's so many things that we as a church need to be doing to get ready. You see, that's why Jesus, when He sent out the disciples, He sent them twos and twos, because He wanted them to, one, to be witnessing, the other one to be praying. Because one will be talking, the other one be praying. What an excellent role model that Jesus set for each one of us. Because, see, it's in God's plan that you and I be actively involved in doing something in the church or for the kingdom of God. You see, a new term has arrived about non-Christians or unbelievers. It's the outsiders. You see, a word that helps us better understand or appreciate those who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, yet they may believe in Jesus Christ, they may know of Him, but they don't know Him personally, and therefore they're outside the body of Christ. So it is our responsibility to woo them in and bring them into the church that they might hear the Word of God. Faith comes to hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it is our responsibility in anticipation of Christ's return to be ready and actively involved in sharing Jesus with everyone we meet. Now, Jesus' return can happen at any moment. That's what the Bible says. Jesus could return at any moment. See, the concept of the intimate return of Christ, that He could come without any further warning, is found all through the New Testament. So Jesus urged His believers to be ready and waiting for His return. And that is the spiritual preparation so important in each and every believer's life. First of all, spiritual preparation is commanded. You see, it's a command by God. It's not just something, well, if you want to, if you feel like it. You see, God wants us to be on board with Him, and that's why He urges us. See, Jesus' purpose, His telling about His return, is not to stimulate predictions or calculate about a date, but to warn us to be prepared. In 1963, on a hot summer day, hundreds of people lined the streets of Dallas, Texas. Remember that? In 1963, what happened? Something happened without warning. A shot was fired, and then another one, and then another one. The President of the United States, John F. Kennedy, slumped over into his beautiful wife's lap. An hour later, he died. Without warning. No one expected that. It was a shock to the world. September 2001. four planes were flying to a destination. One to Pentagon, and two into the towers. One crashed. People going into the towers were going to work as they normally did. No one expected. It came with that warning. Over 3,000 people died in the towers and at the Pentagon. No one expected that, did they? It came without warning. December the 26th, 2004, a tropical island. People were out on the beach, sunning, playing. Some was probably shopping. Some was playing games and doing all sorts of things. And you remember the story of December 26, 2004, a gigantic tidal wave, 50 feet tall, came swooping through this island, and it moved every building in its path. And it went inland for miles and miles. Over 120,000 people lost their lives. You see, no one was expecting this. It happened suddenly. You see, I tell you that is because we never know. It was stated earlier, we never know what today will bring or tomorrow or what our life will be. And that's why Jesus is telling us. He's been earnest and he's been up front with us. Please be prepared. If Jesus would tell us, okay, I'm coming tomorrow, or I'm coming a certain day, what would we do? We would probably put on our best clothes. We would probably be praying all day, Lord, if I've sinned today, just forgive me, because I want to be ready. You see? That's not the way Christians should think, you see. We should be thinking that every day. We shouldn't be thinking, well, just give me a warning so that I can be ready. I can be on my best. How many companies out there, their CEOs and all there, they're going to be there a certain day to kind of just walk through and see how the operations are going? Not many, are they? Yeah, when I worked at the University of Tennessee Space Center, the commanders and all the high chiefs and everything, they didn't tell us when they was coming through. They showed up, and we better have our act together, you know? Yeah. They come in and you salute them. Yes, sir. No, sir. You see, for Christians, we need to have the attitude of righteousness, holiness. Say, Lord, you know, if you should come tomorrow or next week or in a year, Lord, I want to be serving you. Charles Wesley was out in his garden one day, and he was just hoeing away at his garden and his plants and everything, and his neighbor walked up, and he said, you know, I watch you. I watch you at church, and I watch you at many different places. And he said, if the Lord came today, would you want him to catch, what would you want to be doing when the Lord come? And John Wesley looked at him. He said, you know, just what I'm doing right now, whatever I'm doing it unto the Lord. And you see, whatever we're doing, hopefully we are doing it unto the Lord. We're going to always be at our best because, see, that's the way Christians should be thinking, you know, because the Spirit of God, which lives within us, is perfect. It's the old flesh we got to deal with. And the old flesh is what we have to keep calm and tamed and say no to and say yes to the righteousness of God. So in this message today, I want it to be a reminder to us, as Christians, we need to be at our best every day. We have our loving God, yes, our gracious God, but you see, He loves us, but He hates sin. And He wants the best for us, and He's prepared the best for us. And the Bible says that those who endure to the end will be saved. And He says that many will prophesy My name, many will call Me by name, but then when it comes down to it, I will say to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. So how does that speak to our world today? How many people in our world today is lost, dying, and going to hell? Because we, as a church, has not reached out to them to say, you know, and you see the signs all the time, Jesus is coming. I see them all the time, driving down the road, Jesus is coming. And a lot of people say, yeah, I've seen these signs, I know. But He is coming. Maybe not in our lifetime, but He is coming. But see, we should live our lives if He is coming today. If He's coming today. This is serious. That we, no matter how young, how old, how mature we are, how immature we are, the Bible tells us that we need to be prepared, be ready any moment. And I pray our hearts, you know, whether we are into the Word every day or whether we just read it every once in a while, we need to take serious. God has given us His Word in order that we might understand that His love is much greater than anything in this world, and He wants us to be a part of His kingdom one of these days. But greater is He that is in us than He that is in the world. Right? Amen? Jesus Christ, our Savior, is greater than anything else. Why would we not want to be great for His kingdom? Because He loves us that much. Let us pray. Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word. We thank You for Your presence in our life. We thank You that one of these days we can celebrate Your return. We celebrate a lot of things in this life today, but Lord, what a celebration that would be. It will reunite families. It will unite us with You. What an exciting day that would be. If we only knew, as Paul says, I can't even imagine, Paul would say, what heaven would be. And he would only got a glimpse of the glories of heaven. Lord, I just pray this morning that whatever we bring into this church in our hearts, a heavy burden, uncertainties, that we'd be willing to just to bring it to the altar and just say, Lord, only You can help me with this. I surrender it all to You. My life, my circumstances, my will, my all. Lord, when we are willing to do that, Lord, you reach down, You touch us, and just a touch of Your hands brings healing to our body, to our emotions, to us spiritually. It sets us free. It changes our lives. It transforms us into something much better than we can even imagine doing ourselves, because You are God. You are righteous and holy, and that's Your will and purpose for each one of us, to be like You. This invitation is Yours, Lord, and we just pray that whatever the needs are today, we'll be willing to be honest with ourselves, to come to the front, to be honest with You, and say, Lord, I surrender all to You right now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is 366, I Surrender All.